Tonight's shiur is on this week's Parsha, Parsha Shemini. The title of the shiur tonight is Aaron's Blessing for the People. So tonight we're going to look at a couple of psukim that occur before Hashrash Shechina, before the Divine Presence emerges in the Mishkan. So there are a couple of interesting psukim and parak tests in this week's Parsha, which talk about a bracha that Aaron bestows upon the people. So we're going to try to analyze what the purpose of that bracha was. What's the nature of the bracha? What's the purpose of the bracha? So we'll start with source number one. It's Vayikra Parak Tes, Pasuk Chaf Beis. It says, Vayisa Aaron es yadav el ha'om b'yivarachim, v'yered me'asos ha'chatas v'ola v'hashlamim. So after the completion of the Shiva Simei Miluim, the introduction of the Mishkan to all these korbanos, it says that Aaron lifted up his hands towards the people and he blessed them. And then he went down from the Mizbeach, Rashi's going to say, from doing all the korbanos, the chatas, the ola, and the shlamim. Vayavo Moshe v'Aaron el ol moed v'yitzu v'yivarchu es am v'yirach vod Hashem el kol ha'am. And then Moshe and Aaron go to the Mishkan, and then they come out and they bless the people, and the Chvod Hashem, the Shechina, emerges. Vatite ish melefnei Hashem batochal al hamizbeach es ha'olav es ha'chalavim v'yar kol ha'am v'yirunu v'yiplo apneihem. There's a fire that comes from Hashem, and it eats up all the korbanos. The people are very happy when this occurs, and they fall on their faces. So right before the Hashrash Shechina, the Divine Presence, comes down into the Mishkan, or exists in the Mishkan, so before that point, we have some interesting facts, some interesting points in the Psukim. But the first idea in source number one is that we're going to take up is Pasuk Chaf Beis, which is that it says that Aaron lifted up his hands, and he was Mevarech the people. So the question is, what was this bracha that the Torah is referring to in Pasuk Chaf Beis, where it says Vayivarchim? What exactly is it? And what's its function here? What's its purpose? Why is it necessary after the completion of all the korbanos, before the Shechina comes down and the Esh comes down from Hashem? So why is it necessary that Aaron was Mevarech the people? So that's the question. So if you look in source number two, Rashi says Vayivarchim, Birchas Kohanim, Yivarechacha, Ya'er Yisa. So the Torah is making a veiled reference to Birkas Kohanim. And when it says Vayivarchim, it means that Aaron did Birkas Kohanim. He lifted his hands up and he said, Yivarecha Hashem Vishmarecha, Yer Hashem Panav Elecha Vichunecha, Yisah Hashem Panav Elecha V'yaseh Mecha Shalom. Of course, what's interesting is that the Torah doesn't mention the nature of the bracha, but it just says that he's Mevarech them, and this is the bracha. Rashi is filling in the blanks, and he's saying that it was really Birkas Kohanim. And then the next Rashi says, "Vayered me'ala mizbeach." He went down from the mizbeach afterwards, after he finished and completed all the korbanos. So the question is, okay, so Rashi gives us some facts, and he tells us that the bracha of Aaron to the people was Birkas Kohanim, duchening. But still, the question is, what's it doing here? What is the purpose of the duchening here? This wasn't a normal time for duchening. It seems kind of random that Aaron decided at this point, after he completed all the korbanos, to duchen. So why does he duchen here? What is the purpose of the duchening? And also, furthermore, why doesn't the Torah mention the specifics? Why is it so ambiguous as to what the nature of this bracha was that Aaron was bestowing upon the people? So those are some questions. And then we'll go on. Look in source number three. It says, Vayisa Aaron es yadav el am vayivarchim, me'oso es zocha Aaron hu vanav l'nesias kapayim atzov kol adoros. This was, because Aaron did this, he was zoche to Birkas Kohanim for him and all of his generations. So the Medrash is saying that not only did Aaron duchen here, but this act of duchening was such a great act that it merited all the Kohanim getting the right to say Birkas Kohanim. So what exactly is what's so great about this? What was the purpose of this Birkas Kohanim now before the Shechina? And then finally, look in source number four. The Torah Tamima brings down in the Gemara. It says, "Vayisa Aaron es yadav mikan levirkas kohanim shehi b'nesias kapayim." Also, we learn out from our pasuk in Shemini that how do you do birkas kohanim? How do the kohanim do it? I know people don't look at the kohanim. I'm a kohen, but you lift up your arms towards the people when you make the bracha of yivarechacha. So where do we learn it from? We learn it from Shemini, from our parsha. It says, "Vayisa Aaron es yadav." He lifted up his arms. And the Gemara says, "Mikan Birkas Kohanim Shehi B'Nesias Kapayim." So it's funny. We learn out the halacha of how to do Birkas Kohanim, how the Kohanim do Birkas Kohanim, the tzura, the form of it. But the Torah doesn't mention the actual bracha itself. It just hides the bracha. So it's kind of strange. So why do we learn out in one place in our parsha in Shemini how to do Birkas Kohanim, but in Nelso we learn out the actual content of the brachos? It's funny. Why does the Torah split them up? So those are all the questions. So we have Shitas Rashi. Rashi explains that the bracha that Aaron bestowed upon the people was your standard run-of-the-mill Birkas Kohanim. But of course, the question is, what's it doing here? And also, the Medrash says that the Kohanim are Zocha because of this, so why was this such a great thing that they were Zocha? And furthermore, you see from the Gemara and Sota that we learn out that Tzuras Birkas Kohanim, that the form of Birkas Kohanim is that the Kohen lifts his hands up. So why do we learn out the form from here? But in Naso, where the mitzvah is brought down, doesn't talk about how the Kohanim do it. It just says that the Kohanim are obligated to bless the people. So why does the Torah split it up into two parts? So that's the question. So those are all the questions that we're going to try to answer, hopefully. So before we answer Rashi, there's a machlokes, kind of a machlokes, but you'll see it's not a complete machlokes between Rashi and the Ramban as to what this bracha was. And we'll try to analyze the other side. But of course, we're going to be looking at a deeper philosophical insight as to, you know, what the purpose of this bracha was. Not just what he did, but what's the purpose? What's the purpose of Birkas Kohanim prior to the beginning, the initiation of the Mishkan? So if you look at the Ramban, source number 5, the Ramban says as follows, V'yisa Aaron es yadav el ha'am v'yivarchem, Birkas Kohanim, b'varechcha ye'er yisa lashon Rashi, quotes Rashi. And Rashi says that it's Birkas Kohanim. V'im kein tia parshas daber el Aaron v'elbanav le'mor kosav arechlo es b'nei Yisrael shevechumash ha'pekudim, mukdemes l'zeh. So the Ramban says, if that's the bracha, so then the mitzvah should come before this. And he says, maybe that's the case. In Bamidbar it says, Vayhi biyom kalos Moshe lakim es ha-mishkan. So his first idea, the Ramban says, is he quotes Rashi, that the bracha that Aaron made was Birkas Kohanim. But then he says, if it was Birkas Kohanim, so then perhaps the mitzvah should have been brought down before, and maybe it was. That's his answer, maybe it was. Vayitachin lomar, but now the Ramban offers another possibility, other than Rashi, that really the bracha that Aaron was making over here was not Birkas Kohanim, but it was the bracha that was similar to the bracha of Shlomo. Shlomo was Mevarich the Am. He blessed the people when the Beis HaMikdash was built. Shenamar, as it says in Melachim Aleph, Vayamud Shlomo lifnei Mizbeach Hashem, Vayifros Mizbach Hashem, by Yifros Kapa Vashamayim. It says that Shlomo, after the building of the Beis HaMikdash, he was standing before the Mizbeach, and he spread out his hands towards the Shemayim, towards the heavens. Visham Nemar Vayamod Vayvarech Es Kol Kal Yisrael Kol Gadol Lemor, Lefichach Lo Hizker Kasav Shetziva So Moshe Lasos Kein. And over there, as Shlomo was extending his hands towards the heavens, it says that he was Mevarech the people. So the Ramban learns that Aaron's bracha was not Birkas Kohanim, but rather Aaron's bracha was really the bracha of Shlomo, the same bracha, where you spread out your hands towards Shemayim and you bless the people. And then he goes on, he says, "B'braisa shel parshas miluim b'toras Kohanim, ra'isi vayvarchem zu bracha stuma shi'ata yoda." So the braisa says that the bracha over here is not mentioned, it's anonymous. It doesn't say the details of the bracha, like we mentioned before. Chazar kasev appears l'halan. So the Braisa says that the Torah explains later on in Naso, Yivrech Hashem v'yishmerecha, Yer Hashem panam v'lecha v'yichunecha, Yisar Hashem panam v'lecha. So the Braisa seems to support Shitas Rashi, that really the bracha of Aaron was Birkas Kohanim. But he says, V'adayin yesh li lomar shekach amru b'bracha zu shepirach Aaron, so am mi'atzmo stuma hi, v'lo pirson al kasu mahi, aval bracha shenitztavu akonam adoros nisparsha. So one answer, he says it's not a clear-cut raya. And he says, you can answer that Braisa and just say that the Braisa is not referring to this bracha, it's referring to the future bracha. But then he says, V'hi shava b'chol ha'kohanim ha'olam, but he says, O'shem svurim shekan sivo so b'nesiyas kapayim li'yom zeh, u'lohala nasna bracha zu, lo'ol vanav adoros. But he offers the other possibility that Aaron was commanded to do Birkas Kohanim here on this day. And in Naso, it's really an explanation of the mitzvah to all the other Kohanim, l'doros, for all generations. So we have another shita here, we have two shitas. We have shitas Rashi, who holds that it was Birkas Kohanim, and then the Ramban brings down a possibility that it wasn't Birkas Kohanim that Aaron was doing, but really, Aaron was blessing the people the way Shlomo blessed the people after the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and what he did was, he spread his hands out towards Shemayim. A lot of people, when they're davening, or people, Bizman HaZeh, when they're davening, they take their hands and they outstretch them out towards the heavens. So too, that's what Aaron did, similar to Shlomo. So what's the purpose of that? It's the same question on both sides. What's the machlokes between this possibility in the Ramban and Rashi? And what's the purpose of this bracha? Why was this necessary? Why was this praiseworthy that Aaron was mevarich the people, either with Birkas Kohanim or the way Shlomo did? So we have to explain it philosophically. So one other possibility before we start analyzing, or not a possibility, but it's really the Ramban. The Ramban in source number 6, by Nusso, he actually defers to the idea that Aaron did make Birkas Kohanim here. Even though he brings down the other possibility, he says that it was Birkas Kohanim, and he says in source number 6 on Nusso, Dabir l'Aaron vel banav le'mor kosev archu, kvar iskarti b'seder v'ayhi b'yom ha'shmini, ki tzivas Aaron l'aseis es yada v'lo'am l'varchu som b'yom ha'hu. He says, I already explained that Aaron was commanded to do Birkas Kohanim on that day. V'chan tzivu l'doros l'Aaron l'vanav. But here in Nusso, it's a tzivoy to Aaron and his children for all generations. Upir shabracha shivarchu osam. And the Torah explains what the bracha is in Nusso. He says, v'yaskira ba'kamas ha'mishkan, it's mentioned in the establishment of the Mishkan, Kisham Tziva Hashem es Abracha Chaim Ad HaOlam. So the bracha is, in its most pristine form, was commanded to Aaron at the Hakamas HaMishkan. U'kamosha Amar Rabbosinu B'mikdash B'Shem HaMafurash V'Medina B'Chinuyav. So one of the differences in Birkas Kohanim is that in the Mikdash and in the Mishkan, they were allowed to pronounce the Shem Hashem. But outside, when we do Birkas Kohanim, we say Aleph Dal Nun Yud. So we don't pronounce the Shem Hashem. B'mikdash hayu omer mosa bracha achas v'gvulin shalosh brachos ki abracha b'mikdash miyuchedas b'shem ha'miyucha. So the Ramban says that Aaron's bracha was really Birkas Kohanim, but there was a special tzivoy of the Birkas Kohanim of the Mikdash, which was unique in that it was only one bracha, and you were allowed to say the Shem Hashem. So in the end, the Ramban seems to defer to Rashi's opinion that really Aaron was doing Birkas Kohanim. But still, it's a valid possibility that the bracha of Aaron was similar to the bracha of Shlomo. So we have to understand what the purpose of the bracha would be if we're Birkas Kohanim or if we're the Birkas Shlomo. So what's the difference between the two? What's the purpose of the bracha? So those are the questions. Okay, one last point, and then we'll get to analysis. If anybody has any possibilities, just stop me. But let's look at source number 7, just a shot at the pasuk. It says, "Vayamud Shlomo l'fnei mizbach Hashem neged kol kai Yisrael v'yifros kapav ha'shamayim." This is the other shita in the Ramban, that when Shlomo faced the Jewish people, he outstretched his hands towards the heavens. And the Tirgum says, "Vekam Shlomo kadam mad b'chadar Hashem l'kavel kol kahal d'Yisrael ufras yedoi b'tzlo l'tzei shamaya." It says that he davened. Tzlo means davening. It says that really Shlomo, he stretched out his hands towards the heavens and he davened. And then it says that he was mevarech the people. So at least we understand a little bit what Shlomo was doing. But still, the question is, what's the purpose of being mevarech the people before Hashrach Shechina at the completion of the Mishkan / Mikdash? What is that idea, that possibility? Okay, so we're going to explain it. So I think the best way to answer these questions is to try to get some insight into the Tam HaMitzvah of the idea of Birkas Kohanim. If we're going to answer the questions on Rashi and the Ramban, we should understand the philosophy, and if we understand the philosophy of Birkas Kohanim, maybe we can understand the purpose of the bracha here, and why Aaron was mevarech the Am in this situation. So what is the purpose of Birkas Kohanim? So if you look in the Sefer HaChinuch, he's always a go-to guy in terms of philosophy. So he says, Mishar Shei HaMitzvah, the root of the mitzvah of Birkas Kohanim, Shechafetz Hashem betuvo hagadol levarech amo al yad hamisharsim hachonim tamid beis Hashem. It's God's will that he bless the people through those who serve him all the time in the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan. V'chol machshavasam deveka ba'avodaso v'nafsham kishura b'yiraso kol yom. The Kohanim, they were supposed to always be engaged intellectually and emotionally in the service of Hashem, and they're always in the awe of Hashem all the time. V'schusam tachol abracha leim, and through this schus, the bracha should fall upon them. V'isbarchu kol ma'aseim, and all of their actions will be blessed. V'yinoam Hashem aleihem. And that's how blessing occurs. That's how bracha occurs, through their state of mind and through their perfection. V'altitama leimor v'lu chafet Hashem b'vrachasam yitzav osam es abracha v'ein tzorach b'virkas ha'kohanim. So maybe you'll ask, why is there a need for Birkas Kohanim? He should just be mevarech the people. He says, ki kvarik damti lach pa'amim rabos ki b'koach HaKasher Ma'asinu Tachol HaBracha Aleinu. A, one idea is that bracha only falls upon a person when he acts in the right path. Ki yado baruch hu psucha l'chol shol b'yoso mukhshar u'muchon l'kabal satov. God always bestows bracha on a person if he asks for it, if he's in the right state of mind, and if he proves his worth, so to speak, if he's on a certain level, so then he'll get bracha. V'alkein ki bachar bonu mikol ha'amim v'ratza shenizakeh b'tuvo. It's God's will that we get his good, we get mevarech, we're blessed. Hisiranu v'tzivanu l'hachin ma'asenu. We're supposed to work on our actions, u'lahachshir gufenu, and to make our guf kasher, the mitzvosav, through his mitzvos. And by doing all that, li'osenu ru'uyam elatov, so that we're ready to accept the good. Gam tzivanu b'tuvo agadol levakesh minu abracha, v'shenishal osal yideh ha'mesharsim ha'ta'orim, higolzeh yezechusel nafshosenu mitoch chach nezakeh b'tuvo. We're also commanded to ask Hashem through the mesharsim, and in that way, bracha will be bestowed upon us. So what is the idea? What's the basic concept of Birkos Kohanim? And maybe if we understand it, what the Chinuch is saying, we can understand and answer Rashi's Shita, and why Aaron was mevarech the people with Birkos Kohanim. Okay, so what is the idea of Birkos Kohanim? The idea of Birkos Kohanim seems to be that the Kohanim have two roles. It seems like the Kohen's role is to be involved in the Mikdash and to serve Hashem, and that demands that he be fully engaged, like the Chinuch says. But on the other hand, the Kohen is also a role model for the Jewish people. The way that bracha works through the Kohanim is really supposed to teach the people that bracha is a consequence of our actions and our mindset. And the fact that the Kohanim are in a constant mindset, and bracha should be bestowed through them, on them as well, so too the people should learn from the Kohanim. The Kohanim are the role models, and through their activity in the Mikdash and their tzivoy to serve Hashem in the Mikdash, they also should function as role models for the people. So that is the idea of Birkos Kohanim. Birkos Kohanim is a platform for Kohanim to function as the role model for how bracha should work, and how bracha works, and how hashgacha works. And the people should see the Kohanim, and they should understand that bracha is a byproduct of the way that we act, and the way that we serve Hashem. And the Kohanim the Kohanim actually function to as role models in that capacity, and that's the purpose of Birkos Kohanim. So now, with that answer, we understand why Aaron is Mevarech the Am here. So the answer is that before Aaron and the Kohanim could take their role in the Mikdash, they had to demonstrate that they understood their role vis-a-vis the people. Meaning, it's one thing to spend all your time in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan, and then you could just, a regular person might think that that you could just forget about your role vis-a-vis the people, that your primary role is really to work in the Mikdash and in the Mishkan. But the idea that Aaron is trying to express to the people, or through this bracha, is that he's aware of his role vis-a-vis the people. He's aware of his responsibilities as a role model to the people, and he's willing to not forego this by working in the Mikdash, but embrace it. And that's the idea of the bracha here. The bracha of the Birkos Kohanim is the concept that before the Kohen can fully work in an operational Mishkan or Mikdash, he has to embrace his role vis-a-vis the people. And he has to understand that his role vis-a-vis the people is to function as a role model and to teach them, you know, how hashgacha works and how bracha works and how God interacts with people through perfecting yourself. And I think that's why that answers our questions. Why was this important? Why was this the source for Birkos Kohanim? That the Midrash says that the Kohanim are zochet to this through this act of bracha. And furthermore, why is it only Nesias Kapayim and not the details? Because this halacha, or this idea, is really focused on the role of the Kohen vis-a-vis the people. It's not about the particulars of the bracha here, not about the particulars of Aaron's bracha, but it's about the role that the people, or the image that they had of Aaron in doing this, in being Mevarech the people. And so it was more about the role of the Kohen as opposed to the details of the bracha. So that's why the Torah separates the two. Why does the Torah over here in Shemini only talk about the form of Birkos Kohanim, how the Kohen raises his hands and turns towards the but in Naso he talks about the content, because there's two ideas. There's the content of the bracha, and then there's the role that the Kohen takes as the bestower of the bracha, as the Shliach Hashem in bestowing the bracha on the people. He becomes the role model. So this idea of Birkos Kohanim over here by Aaron, pre-Mishkan, pre-Hashra Shechina, is the idea that the Kohen has to assume a role vis-a-vis the people prior to him assuming a role in the Mishkan, an exclusive role in the Mishkan. So that's why, and that's the idea that he was Zoche also to Birkas Kohanim, through this act, through recognizing and embracing his role vis-a-vis the people, the Kohanim in general were Zoche to this mitzvah, to this idea. So that's one approach. So one approach is that in this situation in Shemini, before the Shechina emerges in the Mishkan, Aaron has to demonstrate that he's embracing and fully aware of his role vis-a-vis the people. And the Birkas Kohanim is really, that is the philosophy of Birkas Kohanim, that the Kohen is the Mesharis Hashem, and he has to recognize that he also functions as a role model as to how Bracha works and how Ashgacha works. So that's the idea. Yeah, go. So that's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say that there's two functions. There's the function of understanding the bracha and the ideas of the bracha, and then there's a separate concept of accepting the Kohanim as the role models of the Jewish people. So that's why I'm saying the Torah is separating the two. That's exactly how I'm explaining it. I'm saying that in Nusso, the Torah is focusing on the content of how Hashgacha works, and over here, the Torah is focusing on the role of the Kohen, that the Kohen is supposed to stand up there and face the Om, and he's supposed to be the role model for the people. So yeah, so that's exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying that there's a separation of the two. Alright, thank you. So then the next point is, just one other point. So what's the other side? The other side says that the bracha of Aaron was not Birkas Kohanim, but it was really the bracha of Shlomo. Same type of bracha. It's not really explained in the Torah what he said, but it says that he lifted his hands up. And similarly, Shlomo lifted his hands up towards the heavens when he was mevarech the people by the Mikdash. So what is the idea of lifting your hands up? So there's one other example of this, classic example. And where is it? It's by Amalek. It says over there, I'm going to use this idea by Amalek, which I think is a similar concept, and try to express what I think Aaron was trying to teach the people. So if you look in source number 10, it says, Vayevo Amalek Vayilachem Im Yisrael Berfidim. In the first battle, the first true battle with the Jews after they left Mitzrayim, it was with Amalek. And Vayomer Moshe Yoshua Bechar Lano Anashim Vitzei Lachim Ba'amalek Machar Anochi Nitzav Arosh HaGivah Matei Elokim Biyadi. So Moshe chooses Yoshua, and he tells Yoshua to pick people to battle Amalek. And Moshe says, I'm going to go up, and with the staff of Hashem, go up the mountain. Vayas Yoshua Kasher Amarlo Moshe Lilachim Ba'amalek Moshe Aram Nechur Alu Rosh HaGivah. So what happens is that Yoshua is chosen, he fights, and Moshe, Aaron, and Hur go up to the top of the mountain, the hill. And it's famous that Moshe, whenever he would lift his hands up, they would win, and whenever his hands would get tired and he would lower them, they were losing. So what happened was Aaron and Hur realized that they should put a stone underneath Moshe's arms, and that way keep his arms up the whole time, and the Jews won the war, and Moshe kept his arms up all night. Okay, so the idea over there was that Moshe kept his arm. Whenever Moshe would keep his arms up, outstretched towards the heavens, they would be successful, and whenever not, they would fail. So the Medrash in source number 11, it's also a Gemara. I'm pretty sure, I think it's a Mishnah actually, in Sota, I think. Says this. It says as follows: Vayakashe Yerim Moshe Yadav Gavar Yisrael V'Chashe Yaniach Yadav Gavar Amalek. So it asks us the classic question: how is that possible? Were Moshe's hands really responsible for the success? V'Chi Yadav Shel Moshe Shovros Milchama Osos Milchama. Then were Moshe's hands, arms, responsible for success in war? El Cholze Shaya Moshe Magbi Yadav L'Mala. Whenever Moshe would lift his hands up towards the heavens, Hayu Yisrael Mistaklin Klape Mala Umaminim B'Mishat Sivas Moshe Lasos Kach. Basically, Moshe's arms going up would generate the people's eyesight towards the heavens, and they would realize that Hashem is really in control of everything, and they would put their faith and security in God. And that's when the miracles would occur. Similarly, by the Nechash and Nechoshes, it wasn't that it was an actual miracle, but it was in order to train the people, in order to put their security in Hashem and recognize that the true source and the true the existence that has true control is really Hashem. So really the idea of spread... Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. Why does looking at the sky remind people of God's control?
It's really an idea of... looking at the sky is really an idea that God's I mean, we know that God doesn't exist in a place or anything, but we do have an idea of Shemayim that God can. I guess the idea is that God created the heavens, and the heavens are the most abstract element of creation. So through that, through recognizing that, we recognize that God is the creator of the universe, that he really created everything, and therefore he controls everything. He controls the laws of nature. So really just looking at the heavens is a reminder of the vastness of the universe and how the creator of this universe must therefore have strength and control, because he created this vast makom, this vast place. But the basic idea of the purpose of the arms is not really that the arms created the success, but it was really to focus the Jews' energy on the right concept, on the concept of God. It's really to take away the concept of man and focus on the concept of God. So what's that idea? How does that fit in over here by Aaron and by Shlomo? It says the same thing, that they lifted their hands, their poris kapa of Elishamayim, they lifted their hands towards the heavens. So what is that? What is that concept? So then the concept over here is that after the building of the Mikdash and the Mishkan, it would be natural to feel a sense of accomplishment. For a man to feel like he created this. It was a complex structure, both the Mishkan and the Mikdash. And it would be natural after building such a structure, especially after all the time it took to build it, and the energy, to feel like this was an accomplishment of man. And really the idea is that before the Hashrash Shechina, and in order to understand, or I guess be in the presence of the Shechina, there's no room for man to feel a sense of self-accomplishment, to feel a sense of ego or pride. It's really not appropriate, because the whole idea of being in the presence of Hashem or the Shechina is that we should recognize and be as humble as possible and recognize Ma'enosh Kisis Karenu, the idea that, you know, really it's man's accomplishments are really worthless in the framework of God. So I think the idea of Aaron over here, the concept, is that Aaron was being mevarach the people the way Shlomo was being mevarach the people, the way Moshe acted by Milchama, which is that when you're Poreis Kapav Al Shamayim and you're Misbalel like Shlomo did, it's trying to teach the people that we shouldn't feel a sense of accomplishment in this situation. That really before, or in order for the Hashrash Shechina to emerge, man has to feel, he can't feel like he created this and feel, you know, pat himself on the back. But he has to recognize that God is the creator of the universe. And really, there's a yira that emerges once you recognize that. Like I said before, when you look to the heavens, you realize God is creator. And that really should create, elicit a sense of awe, a sense of respect and awe. So the purpose of the bracha over here by Aaron and Shlomo, I think, would be similar, according to the Ramban, which is in order to teach the people and to internalize the concept that there's no room for a sense of human accomplishment prior to the completion of the Mishkan and the Mikdash. In order for the Shechina to emerge, that emotion or that idea has to be internalized. So I think that's the other possibility. So there's two possibilities for the idea, the purpose of the bracha here. Either it's Birkas Kohanim, and like we said, Birkas Kohanim is the Kohanim assuming a role vis-a-vis the people. Prior to them assuming a role in the Mishkan and the Mikdash, they have to assume a role vis-a-vis the people. And the other idea is that Aaron, like Shlomo, understood that in order for the Shechina to emerge, there can't be any sense of human accomplishment. There can't be a sense of pride in what we've done, but we have to be able to recognize that God is the creator of the universe, and that really in His presence, we're really nothing. We're really not, you know, we're not worthy. So that's the other idea, the other possibility. Okay, so two possibilities for the bracha. So one other point, we're not finished with the share. We still have a little bit more. So the Rashi, there's a little bit of a Rashi on the next pasuk that we did. It says that Moshe and Aaron went together. Look in source number one. Just do an interesting Rashi. It says, "Vayavo Moshe v'Aaron el Ol Moed vayetsu vayivarchu es ha'am vayirach chvod Hashem al kol ha'am." So again, we see another bracha here. But Moshe and Aaron, they go into the Mishkan, and then they come out and they bless the people, and the Shechina emerges. So what happened there? What exactly was going on? So Rashi gives two possibilities in source number 12. It says, "Vayavo Moshe v'Aaron lama nichnasu." Why did they go in together? Matzasi befarshes miluim bevraisa hanusefes al toras kohanim shalanu. So there's a braisa that he quotes. Rashi quotes, "Lama nichnas Moshe im Aaron." Why did Moshe go into the Mishkan with Aaron prior to the Shechina? Lelamdo al maisa ketores, to teach him about the ketores, the incense. Olo nichnas al adavar acher. So the braisa says there's a possibility that it wasn't for the ketores. But then it says, Harini Dan Yerida Uviya to Uno's Bracha. That you can make a comparison between when Aaron went down from the Mizbeach, it says he was Yored, and Moshe, it says, Vayavo Moshe of Aaron. That both need Bracha. Ma Yerida Me'en Avoda, Af Bia Me'en Avoda. Just like the Yerida of Aaron was from Avoda, so too going into the Mishkan was for the purpose of Avoda, for service. Halamata Lama Nechnas Moshe im Aaron, Lelamdo al Maisa Ketores. So the idea is that Moshe and Aaron, why did Moshe go with Aaron? To teach him about the Ketores. So I'm not going into the details of the Limud, but the main idea, the first idea in Rashi, is that Moshe went in with Aaron to the Mishkan to teach him about how to do the Ketores, the daily Ketores. So the question that all the Mefarshim say, the Sifsei Chacham brings down, which is that normally the Ketores wasn't done at this time. The Ketores was done every day on a daily basis. So why was it necessary for, at this point, after all the Miluim, the 7 days of Korbanos, all of a sudden Moshe at the end teaches Aaron about the Ketores? It seems kind of odd. The Ketores was done earlier. It should be done every day on a daily basis. So why does it say, or why would the Braisa be alluding to the idea that he taught him the Ketores? So the Sifsei Chacham gives a practical answer. He says that they really couldn't do the Ketores every day because of the fact that they weren't allowed to do Avodas Panim. They couldn't go into the Mizbeach HaZav, they couldn't go into the Heichal, and they could only do Avodas Chutz, Avodas on the Mizbeach outside. So I'm not going to read through the Sifsei Chacham, but that's his answer. He gives the practical answer, that they didn't do Ketores before, so this is the first opportunity by Ketores Bein Harabayim. In the afternoon was the first opportunity for Aaron to do the Ketores, and therefore, at this point, Moshe had to teach him the Ketores. So it was just a practical idea. But there's another possibility I was thinking of. So one possibility is just practical, that Aaron didn't know how to do the Ketores, Moshe had to go in, and why did he go at the end of the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim? Because they never did it earlier, because they weren't allowed to do it Avodas Panim. They weren't allowed to do Avoda that was in the Heichal, prior to the Hashra Shechina or prior to the Mishkan. This was the first opportunity that they could do it. But the Sefer HaChinuch, one other possibility is that it's a more philosophical idea. So the Sefer HaChinuch, again, just using the Chinuch, he's our stable philosophical guide today in the Shir tonight. So he gives an idea for the Ketores. I think the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim has the same idea. So what is the purpose of the daily Ketores? So the purpose was Mishar Shemitz Vizu, Gamkin Mahagdil Kavod Abayis, so Lios Malaso Moro Apneko Adam. The purpose of the Ketores was to enhance the respect that the people had for the Beis HaMikdash or the Mishkan and create an awe. The Ef Shar Lahagdil Davar Belev Ben Adam Umachshavaso Rak Bidvarm Shu Choshevosam Ligdula Vimatzibham Tainuk Vesimcha. You can only have respect for something that causes you some type of pleasure and gives you some happiness. V'yadua ki inyan ha-reach ha-tov hu davar shenefesh adam nenisbo u'misave elav v'moshe chalev harbe. A good smell is something that draws a person in, and it's very enticing. V'reach ha-ketores haya ha-tov she'efshar le'asos ha-yidei adam. So this, the ketores gave off a really good smell that the Kohanim used. Ad she'amru zichrono mevracha v'perak amr lama mamuna ki me'recho yume'richen bo b'shas ha-ktara mi'recho ad Yerushalayim. Miricho ad Yerushalayim. So it was a very strong, powerful smell, and it wafted everywhere, and it was to draw the people's emotions into the Beis HaMikdash and into the Mishkan. I think the Rambam says that the idea of Ketores was that the smell of slaughtered animals wasn't a particularly good smell, so the Ketores actually was to wipe out that smell. But it was the same idea. The Ketores is meant to draw the people into the Mikdash, and it's hard to be drawn into the Mikdash or the Mishkan if it smells like dead animals. So the idea of the Ketores was to draw people into it. So maybe with that idea, just a simple philosophical point by the Chinuch and the Rambam, maybe that idea can explain Rashi. So what does it mean that Moshe went in with Aaron to teach him the Ketores? So Moshe understood and Aaron understood that prior to the Shechina, also this is the second point, prior to the Shechina, the people had to have a certain attitude towards the Mishkan or the Mikdash, which is really the Mishkan over here. And the attitude had to be one of enticement. They had to feel an emotional enticement into the establishment of the Mishkan. And the Ketores did that. The Ketores smelled good. It drew the people in, their lust, their emotions, into the desiring the Mishkan. And really the purpose of the Ketores was to entice the people, the Bnei Yisrael, into wanting the Mishkan to the highest level possible. So the last avoda of the Miluim was the Avodah Ketores, the Avodas Ketores, that right before the Shekhinah emerges, the Ketores was necessary to draw the people in as much as possible to desire the Mishkan, and that was necessary in order for the Shekhinah to emerge. Okay, so that's the other, that's the second point. So again, before this, we had two different ideas of bracha by Aaron. Either it was to assume a role, or it was to teach the people that there's no room for human accomplishment or human sense of accomplishment. And now the next step, according to Rashi, is that the Jews should be drawn into the Mishkan as much as possible prior to the Shekhinah emerging. It can't be that they're apathetic. It can't be that they don't care. They have to really want the Mishkan to emerge. And the Ketores was the emotional draw for the people to draw them into the Mishkan, into the desire for the Mishkan to start working and operating. Okay? One last point, and then we'll summarize this year. The last point is the last possibility of Rashi. He says, Davar Acher, back to source number 12, Davar Acher, Kevan Shiro Aaron She Karvu Kol Korbanos, V'nasu Kol Masim, L'yard Shekhin L'Yisrael. Aaron saw that all the Korbanos were done, and the Shekhinah didn't come. Aaron thought that it was his fault that the Shekhinah didn't come down. He said to his brother Moshe, this is what you've done to me. You've brought me in here and you've embarrassed me. So Moshe went in with Aaron and he asked Hashem for the Shekhinah, and the Shekhinah came down. And then it says at the end, Vayetu vayivarchu es ha'am, Amru vayhinu am Hashem Elokeinu aleinu, Yi ratzon shetishra Shekhinah b'masei yedeichem. This is what Moshe and Aaron said, that the Shekhinah should emerge. Lefi shekol shivas yimei miluim, all the 7 days, she'amidu Moshe l'mishkan v'shimesh bo u'perku bo b'chol yom, all the 7 days that Moshe was working, lo sharsa bo Shekhinah, the Shekhinah didn't come down. They were embarrassed and ashamed. And they said to Moshe, they wanted to know that the eagle was, there was kapara atonement, and they didn't get that information until the Shekhinah emerged, and they were nervous. That's why they did all the shivas yimei miluim. But Aaron achi kedai v'chashu b'meni sheyidei karbonoso v'avodoso tishra shchina b'chem b'teidu shamakom b'charbo. So then at the end, Moshe says that Aaron was chosen by Hashem, and you'll see that Hashem chose him through the hashra shchina. So what is the last idea? The last point is tied. It sounds like Aaron and the people were nervous that the shchina wasn't going to come down or emerge because of the ego, because of their involvement in the ego. So, and it sounds like that there was a benefit to that, because you're right, Hashem could have just brought the Shekhinah down in the beginning, Hashra Shekhinah. In fact, earlier in the Psukim, in Shemini, Moshe says that if you do these things, the Shekhinah will come down. But it didn't come down until this point, until Aaron and Moshe went in, and it says that Moshe was Mevakesh. So what's the purpose of this? What is the idea? So one last point is, it sounds like the ego, and recognizing, the Jews recognizing their fault in the ego, was also necessary prior to the Shekhinah. Why? Because the idea was that the Mikdash and the Mishkan has the potential to be distorted, tremendous potential to be distorted, because there's a physicality to the Mishkan. And the idea, our idea of Hashem is obviously non-physical, but there's a tremendous physicality to the Mishkan. It's supposed to draw the people's emotions in. There's Shekhinah, so there's an idea. Shekhinah is an idea. It's not really there's no physicality to the Shekhinah, but it's an idea, it's a concept. But still, there's a potential for distortion. So it sounds like prior to the Mishkan, one last point, is that the Jews and Aaron had to realize, or they had to separate themselves from any attachment, emotion they had regarding the Egel, because the Mishkan can only operate in a situation where the Jews remove their association to the Egel and recognize that the Mishkan could have no, should have no attachment, or there's no comparison between the Mishkan to the idea of Egel. So there was a fear, there was an idea of a potential distortion in the Mishkan, and prior to the Shekhinah emerging, the Jews had to completely separate themselves from any attachment that they had, any emotional imperfection that they had vis-a-vis the ego prior to the Shekhinah emerging. Because the Mishkan had to be pristine, it had to emerge in a situation where it couldn't be distorted, at least at that point. Okay, so there's really, it's really a couple points in this year. The first point was the bracha of Aaron. There's two possibilities. Either it was Birkas Kohanim to assume their role vis-a-vis the people, or it was the idea of Shlomo and Moshe, which was that the people should recognize that there's no room for accomplishment. When, in order for the Shekhinah to emerge and to be in the presence of Hashem properly, we can't pat ourselves on the back. We have to look towards the heavens and recognize that Hashem is the creator of the universe and we're just Ma'enosh Kisis Karenu. And then the second idea, or I guess the second or third idea, was the first point in the Ketores. So I wanted to give a possibility based on the Chinuch that the Ketores was done last and prior to the Shekhinah emerging because the people should be drawn in to the Mishkan. They should want it. And the Ketores was supposed to entice the people. And doing the Ketores last, prior to the emergence of the Shekhinah, was in order that the people be in the right state of mind, that they really want the Mishkan and they're really drawn to it prior to the Shekhinah emerging. And the last possibility in Rashi was tied to the Egel, that Aaron was fearful of his attachment or his responsibility for the Egel, and so were the people, and they were nervous that they weren't going to get any Shekhinah because of it. And it sounds like there was a purpose to that. There was a good to that, in the sense that the people in Aaron should recognize that there's no comparison or there's no connection between the Mishkan and the Egel, that they shouldn't look at the Mishkan in any way the way they viewed the Egel, and what the same imperfections that caused the Egel should have to at least perfect or work on or try to eliminate prior to the emergence of the Mishkan and the Shekhinah emerging. So that's the last idea. All right, so everybody have a good Shabbos. Any questions? All right. Thank you. Thanks for calling in. Thank you. Have a good Shabbos. Thank you.